I'm going to tell you the basic introduction to this, to what we're trying to achieve out here. Okay, I'm assuming you've got no background in Gemara at all. You never learned it before, is that correct?
Yeah.
Basically. Okay, very briefly, in just a few minutes, this is the essential background that you need to know. I'm not going to go into a lengthy discussion about the history and structure of Gemara, okay? Just what we're trying to get out of this year, okay? And the following are the points that you need to know. Try and fit this into the context of what you saw this evening in this Gemara, okay? So you can understand it for the future. Gemara is a very complex structure, okay? Very difficult and very complex. And it's made to be difficult. Let's get that point. That's the first point that we have to have clear, okay? Not made to be easy. It's not because you dull, okay? It's because the Gemara is difficult. The object of the Gemara is to be difficult. That's how it is, okay? Why? Mishnah Gemara. Many reasons. But one of the reasons, many reasons, including mystical, which I'm not going to go into now. But basically, the reason that we have to relate to, or the consequence that we have to relate to, is as follows. If Gemara were written as a compendium of information, so then it just has to be written in point form as the Shulchan Aruch, a code of Jewish law. Do this, this, and this, and this. You follow, you get married, so if she's a basula like this, if she's a bula like that, build the sukkah like this, do this like that, you posh it. And you have that in the form of the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch, the code of Jewish law. If you want to look up point form, what you do and what you don't do, you can look it up over there. The Gemara is not written as information. That's on its agenda, but what it's written for is to make your mind into being a shtick Torah. Okay? The Gemara is written in such a way that if you absorb it, so you become Torah. That's what we want out of this process. You follow me? And by reading a list of conclusions that you look up when you need to know it, so that's a library. You at best you're going to memorize a library. You're not going to become Torah. We want you to become part of the process. Are you following? And therefore, what we want to do is absorb Gemara to the extent that you become the process, that you're able to make the, you're able to work things out for yourself and make decisions. You're able to understand how Torah looks at things, not just have a memorized conclusion. Are you with me? And therefore, we want to build spiritual muscle, we want to build personality muscle, and we want to build intellectual muscle. And the only way you build intellectual muscle is when you grapple against the resistance yourself and the muscles develop. The best muscle I can give you is like a man who wants to pick up weights in the gym. So if he goes, I'm not recommending it, okay, as a way of life, but if a person does do that, if he goes into the gym and he watches the instructor pick up the weights with all the fantastic gadgets and movies and demonstrations and all that, it's all fantastic and it's all essential, but he won't build any muscle. Clear. It's only when you start doing it and sweating and groaning and straining your muscles that you actually start to develop. And therefore, that's how Gemara is. That leads us to point number two, which is this. The worst kind of shear in Gemara is where the Rebbe makes the whole Gemara clear, explains everything in the Gemara. That doesn't do you any good. The good it does is to the Rebbe. He benefits, but not the student. You follow? You don't even realize it was difficult. It's like going to watch a sports demonstration where the chap does it. So like, fantastic, it looks great, it looks clear, but you don't understand what work went into that. And you don't develop at all. Are you with me? You need such a shear to give you guidance, to give you direction. You need somebody to make it clear when you're in doubt, or after you've worked on it, to show you where you went wrong so you can do it right the next time. Obviously, these shearim have a function. And most shearim and gemara are given that way. They assume you've done the work already, and then they make it clear. And then you appreciate the shear, because you know that it took you 6 hours to struggle from line one to line two. And here suddenly he's putting it in a way that's obvious and it clicks in, but it only clicks in because you put the effort in beforehand. And therefore, we are not trying to run this shear in a way that I make it clear. We're trying to run this year in such a way that you work it out. I'm going to present to you, you follow me, I'm going to present to you, let's say, the problem in the Gemara. I'm going to read you a line of Gemara, and you're going to have to work out what the difficulty is. And after you've worked out the difficulty, you're going to have to work out what the answer is. You follow me? So that together, we actually sharpen ourselves, okay? Are you with me? Instead of mine just explaining what's going on. Okay? That's the way. In the normal yeshiva process, it isn't done that way. The way it's done is you sit with a chavrusa all day and all night for hours and hours and hours, struggling with the difficulty, agonizing and sweating and straining over it. Then you come to the shiur once a day or once a week where the Rebbe says it all clear. And then you understand what's going on because you put the work in. But you don't grow from the shiur. You follow me? It's like it's where you got an expert to help you with your swing. Is that right? So he tells you he's slicing it, but you're hooking, you're doing this, you're doing that. So now he sets you up, but then you've got to go practice it. So you come to the shiur for somebody who knows a little bit more than you to sort of set you on the right road, but it's the effort. Are you with me? This has to be totally clear. You're not coming here to understand Gemara. You're not coming here to hear what the Gemara says or to enjoy it. You're coming here to sweat and agonize as hard as possible. And the bigger an expert you get, the harder it gets. It doesn't get easier. The things that were difficult before aren't difficult now, but the new thing's difficult. When you crash through to a new level of understanding, so now you've got much bigger difficulties in the Gemara. And when you crash through that and you get clarity at that level, so you see problems that the beginner wouldn't understand what you're talking about. You follow me? And it's designed in such an incredible way that it continues to be difficult no matter how deep you get. The greatest Gemara Talmud minds in the world are not sitting there just revising happily everything that fits together. They are breaking themselves, breaking their heads in levels of difficulty that you can begin to relate to. Are you with me? And they're developing at that level and so forth and so on. Just like in Havdil Elef HaGdolos in a sport or something, where the expert is breaking through a barrier that you couldn't believe is humanly possible. You follow? But that's what he's interested in. He's not interested in doing the same things that you're doing. Are you with me? Clear? Therefore, the aim of this year is only twofold. Okay? Get it clear. One, to break through the levels of difficulty, to struggle to build our minds like that, intellectually and personality-wise and in depth. And two, and out of that, let me explain what we want. I think the most logical way for me to put it is like this. I'll tell you the two aims and then I'll try and explain them. The one aim is much simpler. I'll start with that. And that is to convey to you the keys and codes, as I said this evening, that you need in Gemara. Okay? Every word in Gemara is used with scientific precision. As I said to you, if it says Rav Yehuda Omer, or if it says Omer Rav Yehuda, it's a totally different concept. So you've got to know that. If you don't know that, it might take you 25 years to click onto that convention, and you can't do without it. It's hard enough when you know the convention. Therefore, I'm going to try and convey to you the essential keys of structure that you need to know. What word means exactly what, so that it always means that for you. And how a structure that's classically put together always follows the same, has the same ramifications and so forth. You follow me? So that you pick up from the keys and codes of wording and structure and syntax and everything else in the Gemara what you need to know. It's like trying to understand the language without knowing what the words mean. You follow me? Or trying to follow the instructions of an instructor in a sport when you don't know what the terms of reference are.
That's exactly the problem that I have.
What?
I can follow the Hebrew right. Really basically, but I don't understand 95% of the
words. Absolutely, that's why you're here. So I'm going to try to be conveying in this year. Okay, let's get this clear. I'm not here to translate the words. We have not got the time together for me to painstakingly show you the root of each word and translate it carefully as we go, although they're totally essential, but we'll never get on to grappling with the logic. We'll have a Hebrew class and an Aramaic class, and we'll never get into the logic. And that's what I warned you. You must go yourself through the week and get somebody and sit with him for hours on end and do the translation and write the words in and memorize it and go over it and practice it. You follow me? It's an essential need that I can't do that and everything else also in this year. And therefore, what we're trying to do in this year is the higher level work of getting people to break their minds into the patterns of thinking that are incredible and fascinating, and we've never been taught to think that way. To learn how to translate the words and understand the Hebrew and Aramaic is baby stuff. You don't need any, doesn't take any creativity. You just got to slog away at it. Are you with me? So therefore, what we're doing is this. We're not translating words here. You've got to do that yourself, get someone else to do it. I mean, I'll translate the words for you, basically. We're not going to go into a lecture on it. What I'm here to do is show you, not the translation, but how the words are coded in such a way, not just that it means he said it, but it means he said it and it's an argument. Or no, he said it and it's not an argument. Whatever the keys and the codes are, the difference between an attack and a question and a difficulty, there's different words for those in Gemara, they all mean different things. When Tosfos asks a question, sometimes he doesn't even say the question, he just gives the answer. That means it wasn't a very difficult question. Sometimes he says, the imtomer, and if you say, I'll answer you like that, it means it was a bit of a question. Sometimes he says, kasha, which means it's hard. And sometimes he says, tamer, which means this is amazing. Which is the highest level of difficulty, and each one is a graded sequence of questions. He doesn't just chat along happily like we do. If he says it's difficult, he means it's difficult, and if he says it's amazing, he means it's very difficult. You follow me? And appropriate to that level of question, you have to understand the answer. You've got to know these keys and codes like in any other skill or art, okay? That's aim number one, which is easy. Aim number two, which is difficult, which is the main aim of what you're doing here, is as follows. Why I'm bothering to tell you this is because there's many ways to learn Gemara, okay? You can learn Gemara with an eye to the halachic consequence, like a lawyer would like to do. What's the chachlis? What comes out of this? Okay, we're not doing that yet. You want to go learn halacha, you must get some other shiur halacha. We're not doing that. We're only doing one thing apart from the keys, and that is this. We want to learn how to learn structure. We want to learn, every Gemara is put together in such a way that the structure integrates, locks in to make a three-dimensional building that you can see in space in front of you, okay? That is what we want to learn. When you read the words for the first time, it's a mess of spaghetti. It makes no sense at all. The words don't begin to fit together. That's how it should be the first time. After you finish with the Gemara, you see that it's describing to you a structure of incredible simplicity and beauty, complexity and simplicity and beauty, and it couldn't have been described any better. And it couldn't have been described with fewer words to give you that understanding. But you only understand that when you understand it. You follow, it's incredibly crafted so that when you look at it the first time, it doesn't begin to make sense. And as it yields its secrets to you, you get clearer and clearer. In the end, you have total clarity, and you realize that it's saying exactly that. It's not difficult at all. Now, you have to take it from me at this point until you've seen how we do it, and we'll try and do it together, but that's what we're here for. And that is what takes a training of breaking your mind into pathways of thinking that we've never been trained to do. Are you with me? And it's an unusual way. It involves lateral thinking. It involves creativity. It involves a rigorous logic, attention to detail, exacting attention to detail. And it trains and sharpens all these faculties of intuition, of intellectual sharpness. And it goes with character development. If you aren't sincere about it and have your character in it, your intellect won't function either. That's another incredible aspect of Gemara. If a person does something angry, he forgets a certain aspect of his Torah. even though it was intellectual. How come he forgets it? No. If the personality drops, the Torah knowledge drops. Incredible thing. You'll feel it as we go. How do we define structure? And this is the most of this whole discussion. This, what I'm about to say for the next 5 minutes or so, is the most important, okay? Without this, you cannot do it all. Listen very carefully, make a note of it, and never ever forget this. The way we wish to define structure is by means of a series of diagrams, okay? That is how I intend to do it. And that's how I recommend you do it. I've noticed that people who are great in Gemara, they do it this way automatically. They don't have to make little sketches. But this is how it comes out in their mind. And it's only because of this that they can answer you on the spot, because they see that picture in front of their eyes. And therefore, this is the way to learn Gemara. These are the diagrams. I'm going to describe to you how you make the pictures on the paper in front of you as you go through the Gemara. And without this, you'll never be able to learn. Okay? Stay with me. This is how you do it. You make a set of three diagrams. Okay? And the three diagrams are as follows. Diagram one is a flow chart of the sugya. In other words, the Gemara starts off by saying, two people are in Beis Din. He says this, she says that. Okay? Yoshua's opinion is this, Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. You make a flow diagram showing the information in the order in which it appears. Posh, it's simple, right? Like any subject that you would study. Fact one to fact two to fact three, so that your diagram is graphically represented, every single piece of information that was given to you in the order in which it was given, correctly defined and attributed to the right source. Are you with me? Now you know what the Gemara says. You haven't a clue what it means, or where it's going, or how it works. Like this. The diagrams work as follows, okay? The most important thing is like this. Diagram one is a flow chart like I explained to you, okay? Now, diagram two is where the work begins, and this is what you do. You put aside the Gemara, you take your diagram, and this is what you do. You redo the diagram, okay? You're here, mostly. You redo the diagram like this. You draw a diagram now that doesn't go in the order of the Gemara, but it goes in the most logical, compressed order possible to show the interrelationship and the mechanism of how everything there works on itself in such a way that it couldn't be any more concise or with any fewer words. Why didn't the Gemara do it that way? For many reasons. Sometimes the Gemara enters a subject from an angle. It might get into a subject because it was talking about something else first. And that's how it got onto the subject. But that might not be the most logical place to start this discussion. If you're talking to me about something else and you get there, so then you get there. But if I want to present it to you from the beginning, I might start in a very different place. And therefore, the way you do this diagram is conceptually. You take the piece of paper and you work out. Sometimes the diagram might be a flow chart, sometimes it might be a circle. It might be a circle with one thing in the center and arrows going out to everything that that central thing affects. And then you might realize that all the things on the center affect the thing in the circle, so you'll have arrows in the other direction. Then you might discover that some of the things on the circle affect other things on the circle, so you'll have an arrow going in that direction. Can you follow what's going on here? And in the end, you'll have a diagram, yes, where every variable that was mentioned in the Gemara is listed on your new diagram, and everyone has a line of force or energy showing what it does on everything else in that Gemara that it does. Are you clear? You'll now have in front of you a three-dimensional mechanical structure that has every single element in its correct place and showing what it does to the structure. Are you with me? You still do not understand how it works, but at least you understand what it does. What you've done right now, you've taken an engine, you've taken it apart. You don't know what this machine does. You don't know what it produces, okay? You don't know what makes it tick. But you know that this piece moves that piece, and this wheel turns this lever, and that cog turns this cog. You follow me? And you can put it all together and take it apart. Are you with me? How and why you done it? Does this machine make a pizza at the end of the day? I don't know what it does. Or why it does, or who designed it to do that. Are you with me? But you now have the mechanics in place. That's the second diagram. Are you all clear? Now, you modify the second diagram as follows. You continue in the second diagram as follows. By the way, this diagram, the Gemara contains entirely. The words of the Gemara will indicate to you plainly all these factors and the way they operate on each other. What the Gemara will not tell you is why. Very seldom will the Gemara tell you that factor A goes to factor G, increasing it or decreasing it. Why does it do that? That's called a svara. Svara means a logic or a reason. You have to work out why. The Gemara will contain it in some way, in a hidden way, or because it must be that way, but it may not spell it out. You now go back to your diagram and you try and understand why do these things operate in this way. And in little letters on top of each line, you write the svara. This factor goes to that factor in this way because, you follow, bari b'sheva, bari adim. That's why. Or because there's a chazaka that this should always be that way, therefore it always does this. Or whatever the logic, you follow me? Whatever the logic is, and sometimes it could be quite complex. It could be a line going this way, a small line, bari b'sheva, bari adim, and it could be a chazaka going that way, a strong line. Then you'll show the composite of the two, which is a line going in that direction because it's strong and that's weak. But the whole logic is there in front of your eyes. Are you clear? You now know the structure and why each element, how and why each element does what it does. Now, furthermore, you do one more exercise on this diagram. You seek out what is called Nekudas HaSugya, the point of the Sugya. What makes it tick? What's the one concept underlying this whole diagram, this whole mechanism that makes it all work? And very often in Gemara you'll find it boils down to just one thing. This whole discussion is teaching you just one principle. And it's all a way of showing you how that thing operates in the world. Okay? If your diagram's correctly done, very often it might be like a circle. The center of that circle will be the concept. And from there we'll fan out all the mechanisms how to all interrelate. It might not be a circle. There might be other ways, such as a bar diagram or a chart or a graph. There might be other ways that might be more appropriate. I mean, if you follow, I'm just giving an example. But it will have all the information. It will have how everything operates. It will have why each element operates that way. And overall, and you might have to use color coding for this. It gets quite complicated sometimes. It will have the underlying concept that makes the whole thing operate, which will tell you why it's all like this and what it's producing at the end of the day. That's called the Nekudah of the Sugya. Are you with me? Without that, you missed the point. If you did the exercise of getting the mechanics and you forgot to understand why, you missed the point. And if you understood why and you don't know what it does, you're an idiot. So you took the machine apart and you know how everything moves, and then there's somebody else, what does it do? I don't know. Does it crush old cars? Does it make you a coffee at the end of the day? I don't know. What does it do? You follow me? Obviously. And finally, you do your third diagram, okay, which is called a chart of the maskonis, of the conclusions. You do this. You draw a chart, not a diagram, a chart, with a vertical and horizontal axis in little blocks. Down, across the top, you write every possible variable that this Gemara touched on. If a man finds a woman not to be a basula, okay, what's the consequence? Is a bari v'shem a bari odif? Yes or no? How does a chazaka work? In this situation, every variable that the Gemara worked on, you put across the top. Down the side, you put all the names who appeared in the Gemara. And you fill in the chart accordingly. According to Rabbi Eliezer, bari v'shem a bari odif? Yes. Follow me. According to Rabbi Eliezer, chazaka? Yes. No. In this situation, you follow me. So that you can, at a glance, know what he holds about everything. Then you get Rabbi Yeshua. And you fill in the chart according to him. So that at the end of the day, you can go home and tell me what the Gemara said. It's all very well knowing how the structure works and so on, but if you can't tell me what the conclusion was, you missed the point. It's called maskonah. Maskonah doesn't mean the halakhic conclusion. We're not looking at that yet. Of course, there's a fourth diagram which you're supposed to make, which we're not going to do, which is to come out with a halakha. What obliges us in Jewish life today? Rabbi Eliezer, fine. Rabbi Yeshua, fine. But which one do we follow and why? We're not going to go into that, okay? We just don't have time for that. Although that's the final conclusion that anybody who's serious about Torah needs to know. But we don't want that. But the reason we can't do that, by the way, is because sometimes that is affected by 30 other Gemaras. This Gemara is just one piece of the picture. There could be 15 others that talk about this issue and all modify it. And we certainly can't look at all of them together. So we're not going to do that. All we want to know is, having defined the structure of this Gemara, and having seen how it operates, and why, and what the underlying concept is, what is the take-home message? Is this thing allowed, or isn't allowed at the end of the day? According to whom does she stay married to him, and according to whom doesn't she stay married? So that you follow me. You hear what I'm getting at. Yes, if you've got the whole thing clear, you don't know what it does, you don't know what the outcome is, you can't take home what the conclusion of the Gemara is. We're not just talking. The Gemara is, every single word in the Gemara is aimed towards the halakhic conclusion. There's nothing academic in the Gemara. Never forget that. The Gemara never makes a comment that's of academic interest. Every comment in the Gemara is geared towards how it applies and affects the outcome. Okay? And therefore, your eye has to be trained so that every word in the Gemara you understand immediately what it does to the whole flow of everything. And it's difficult because in the Gemara, in mathematics, step one is established, then you go to step two. When step two is established, you go to step three. That's not how Gemara is. In Gemara, step 15 might be something that looks back to step one and reruns the whole program according to this new space. And you've got to understand the whole thing like that. That means you follow me. Every step, everything's open to question at every step. It's not like step 14 is proven, now we'll move on. Oh no, step 14 is proven. Wait till we explode in step 15. We're going to explode it and reconstruct the whole discussion. It's going to have implications for the whole discussion. And you've got to keep flipping through the whole thing at each new step. You follow me? So therefore, you must understand what each comment does to the whole discussion and the final outcome. For example, if the Gemara says that there are two ways to solve a problem, and it shows you which two ways, yes, we have a problem. You can solve it. You can get from A to B by going this way. You can get from A to B by going that way. Immediately, the Gemara will ask, who cares if there are two? What's the difference? What do I need two solutions for? If you can get from A to B and you show me one way, why do you have to give me two? I'm not using academics because it's interesting. No, because if you go, hey, has implications and consequences that in other situations will have certain application, whereas if you go B, it will come out very different. Here it won't be different. Here it will get you from A to B, whichever way you go. But depending which way you hold is the way to go, do you follow? It will have incredible different consequences someplace else, maybe. Are you with me? Or in certain unusual cases, it will make a difference whether you go A or B, although it doesn't make so here. And therefore, you have to start searching. If the Gemara gives you an A and a B, you, knowing that everything's got halachic validity and outcome, it's no good saying, well, it gets me to B. You have to say, and why did it have an alternative pathway? What's the difference? You follow me? I'm just illustrating the fact that everything in the Gemara has got a practical, tangible outcome at the end of the day. Nothing academic at all. Any questions on what we said? What we're trying to get over here is, and simply put, how to learn Gemara. We're trying to learn how to learn here. And what it's supposed to do to you is supposed to make you more of a Torah mensch. The more, to learning, first of all, it's a mitzvah, right? That's the ikka, the main mitzvah of all the mitzvahs is to learn Torah for a man. What you're going to get out of it, though, you, when you absorb this, it's not information that you walk away with, it changes you. It changes your personality and it changes your intellect. People who learn Gemara for a few months will tell you that their clarity in their professional lives or decision-making needs are entirely different. Amazingly different. It's very depressing also. Very depressing. You might think you know how to think. And you come and you have two lines of the Gemara that show you and begin to think straight, right? Because everything is open to question. There's no holds barred over here. Nothing above being questioned in the Gemara. You question everything down to absolute rock bottom. Not afraid to ask questions. On the contrary, you ought to sharpen that ability. So on a pure intellectual level, it will build you like nothing else in the world can. Just pure intellect. That was the thing, Claude. But beyond that, much deeper than that, it affects you. The Torah seeps into your bones and makes you more of a Torah mensch. Become more sensitive and more kindly and more in control of your personality. And so forth and so on. You understand the world. There are many, many, many things that happen. But you don't take it from me. You've got experience. I've got an answer for you.
Yeah,
okay? And it's as follows. Listen well before you get depressed without hearing the answer. The answer is as follows. Yeah. But the answer is as follows. First of all, there's a Torah promise that you can help from another dimension, unlike any other subject. Alright? You take it or leave it. When you try it, you'll see it. Okay. But I've got a much more important answer for you. It's as follows. There's a philosophy that also Meir specifically has developed over the years. And that's the method that we'll be using. Since the Hebrew is a big stumbling block for others much more than for you, who never had any Hebrew at all, can't even follow the words, they developed a methodology as follows. Maybe I should make it clear like this. There are other yeshivas where they first teach you the Hebrew, then they teach you the Chumash, then they teach you the Mishnah. You don't see Gemara for months, because that's the natural pathway, except they give it to you accelerated. Also, Mach developed a philosophy like this. Take a chap who's got those problems, translate it for him. Let him grapple with it in a way that he understands. Get the rabbi to translate it. Give him the concept. There's a man standing in Beis Din and he's claiming this about his wife. Okay, you don't need Hebrew for that. She's standing in Beis Din and she's claiming this. This is one opinion, this is another. Now let's start working it out. Okay? And therefore, at his level of intellectual ability, he grapples with the concepts until he sharpens his mind and gets to understand the concepts without needing the technical skills on the page. And as time goes by, slowly, he's building up the technical skills. You know, some might actually take a tutor and give you 1, 2, 3, 4 hours a day with a tutor just to accelerate the technical skills development. But that's not our object in this year. Our object is to do the work for you so you don't need the technical skills. Take it from me. I'm telling you. If it says Rabbi Eliezer like this, it's an argument. If it says like that, it's not. So now you've got the information, okay? So now you know he's arguing. What does he say? What does he say? Let's debate it. Let's work it out. You've got me to help you through the technical problems, and you get your head into the logic of the Torah, which is absolutely no reason why you shouldn't do. A more mature person with more experience of life has certain decided advantages over people who don't have that. And as time goes by, you start to build up the technical skills. What can I tell you? You may be right that in the long run, you personally may not get as far as somebody who was brought up with all the technical skills. Could well be, but there's certain things he'll never get that you'll get. Certain things that he'll take for granted that you won't. He'll have taken certain concepts in when he wasn't able to assess them with maturity, whereas you're not there. Many, many. And secondly, Hashem doesn't demand from you what he can do. He wants you to do the best you can do. You're not here to become a world expert in Gemara and handle it yourself at a Rosh Hashiva's level. You're here to do the best you can do and become as much Torah as you can. Are you with me? And that's the way we handle that problem. Don't worry about the Cheder problem. Listen, if I haven't convinced you, don't come. I mean, I can't help it. But because do all Gemaras always go the same way with the same principles and come out with the same conclusions from the same principles? They must come out of everything. Absolutely not. Oh, no. Listen, in this Gemara in front of us, we've got two opinions. One opinion is that we believe him, and one opinion is we believe her. And you might find another Gemara with other opinions. The work of the poskim is to decide what we're going to do in this situation of doubt. We have a principle that all opinions are true, even though they disagree with each other, which we'll have to explain another time. They are all aspects of spiritual truth. They all go according to valid Torah principles. The question is, what are we going to do about it tomorrow? For that, you need the total digest of everything to decide. That's not what you're asking?
No. So in different Gemara, they're going to write the same conclusion again and again.
No, you won't write the same. We look at it. I think I understand you.
But I think.
The diagram that you're making. That's easy to answer. Our first aim here is not to memorize what your conclusions were elsewhere. That comes later when you've got a title together. No. But you're right. If what you mean is this, 55 times in the Gemara you will come across sugyas that use the concept of Bori and Shema. Absolutely. And in the final diagram of all of those, you must have what this Gemara decides about that principle. Absolutely. But there's a much deeper question, which I don't want to talk about too long, and that's this. Why do so many Gemaras all utilize the same principle of Bori and Shema again? So the idea is this. Each Gemara that applies that principle, absolutely. Here you're deciding whether Bori, the Shema, Bori, Odif stacks up against the Chazaka. The next time you'll have Bori or Shema, Bori, Adif, whether it stacks up against a certain biological reality. The next time you'll examine whether it has financial, you follow me, and how it works against five other principles. You've got to examine this thing. There'll be 55 times the Gemara will mention it to show you all its applications and ramifications. We're not going to go through the same set of circumstances each time. But the Gemara will choose only one set of circumstances that brings out all the principles you need to know. It will never give you another set that deals with exactly the same variables. That's pointless. In other words, there's no duplication of the same information overall. If a case is mentioned twice, it's only because here we need it for a different reason. Okay? And the totality is you need all of it and everything to give you all the information.